comes the boom.
Welcome to the Morning Mix with Fifth Fleet CMC Christopher King. We bring it to you straight and discuss the street level day-to-day around the U.S. 5th Fleet Naval Forces Central Command. Let's take another expeditionary deep dive into the 5th Fleet mindset.
One of the biggest one is don't let your background determine your future. Where you were born, you know, your accent, everything that you know you want to improve, you can go for it and improve it.
I think it's very rewarding as a chief. You don't get it all the time, but you get those phone calls or those Facebook video chats where people getting mapped or advancing, and it's the person that you didn't think was going to stay in, and they're next, you know, they're first class or they're a chief.
I think you bring up a great point. You know, when you think about all of us in the room, there's many years of experience in here, and we've all done very different things.
Well, how do you make master chief? And I looked at him. I said, well, senior, I don't know how to make chief, but I would assume hard work. And he said, no. He said, you step on his toes without scuffing his boots.
Thank you all for being into the studio. We've got some good topics to talk about, a little bit of history, a little bit of celebration. We just had our 249th birthday. Fleet, I've got a couple guests, as you can see, with us in the studio. We've got Chief McKay and Chief Oyegoke, as well as MC2 Kramer. We're going to be switching up, and I'm getting ready to shove off, and so we've got our new DJ in with you.
So what's our new DJ's DJ name?
Petty Officer Alec Kramer, but sometimes I'll do DJ Crame Dog.
Crame Dog.
Yeah, I just recently found to be a dad, so DJ Crame Dad.
I like that. First kid?
Yes, first kid.
Congratulations. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's great to hear. So, I don't know, MC2, I think I'm ready to kick this off. What do you think?
All right, let's go for it. Yep. Chief Oyegoke, we'll start with you. Share a little bit about what you're doing currently with the Navy, what command you're with, and maybe when you joined as well.
My name is Rochelle Oyegoke. I am a Chief Navy Career Counselor stationed at Naval Support Activity Bahrain. I am currently Command Career Counselor. I have been in the Navy for 16 years, and I joined at Houston, Texas, originally from Nigeria.
Excellent. All right, Chief McKay.
Good morning. I'm Chief Brad McKay. I work at Fort Deployed Regional Maintenance Center, Bahrain. We serve ships in the AOR. I joined out of Decatur, Georgia. That's East Atlanta for a lot of people that don't know. I've been in the Navy 20 years. I thought about, walking away, and then they selected me for Senior Chief.
You've come a long way from Georgia, and you've come a long way from joining from Texas, right? You said Houston, Texas? That's pretty incredible. It's funny how we live from all over the world, and we all end up in the same place sharing time and experience and things like that. I don't know. Remind me, MC2, where are you from again?
I'm from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they make Hershey's chocolate, right?
Yes.
And MC2 Kramer, how about you? Where are you from?
I'd say I'm like a mix between North Carolina and Maryland.
That's a pretty big mix. How do you put one foot in both counties there? That's tough.
Just, my dad lives in Maryland.
Okay.
Mom lives in North Carolina. So
gotcha.
Kind of split the difference.
Too easy. Very good. Very good. But with that in mind, so for the chiefs that we have with us today, we just had the 249th birthday, right? So what are some thoughts on the birthday of the Navy and kind of what you do and why you think about that in your background a little bit?
I think it's pretty interesting that something traditionally has been around this long and it's continuing to grow. Innovation changes every day, and with it, so are we. With the newer generation of sailors, it's sort of like cars, right? You know, cars get faster, they get more technological, but you still have your old, you know, classics moving around, showing the standard and keeping those traditions alive.
That's fair. Chief Oyegoke, how about you? What are some things you think about as you reflect on the Navy's birthday this year?
I am just grateful for what we have done and, you know, the road ahead to continue to protect the Americans and our allies at sea.
AFN The Eagle. Who the heck did you think you were listening to? Serving America's best.
Do either one of you have any family that were in the Navy or in the military previously? Or were you all the first of your kind?
For my family, my family's from a small town, Oconee County or Athens, Georgia. It's country. So one of my cousins, he just retired out of the Marine Corps. I had another cousin retire out of the Air Force. My grandfather was Army Special Forces in World War II. So, and I'm just an electrician.
Got some history. I like it. Yes,
I
ma'am.
I do. Actually, my sister and I, we joined the Navy together. And I also have a stepfather that was in the U.S. Army. He retired 8 years ago.
Did either one of you mean to join, or is this something that just kind of occurred like later when you were kind of more, say, in your hitting your adult phase? Is that something you decided, or what kind of pulled you in and made you want to join?
For me, watching my stepfather, I've always thought, you know, military is not for me because of everything that I've seen and what he's been through. But I appreciate all the goals that he was able to achieve for himself. After having my 2 years of associate degree, I look at myself and I'm like, hey, I'm going to challenge myself to do something that I didn't plan to do. And I love that I made that decision.
I think that's great. How about you?
So for me, I was in a Navy ROTC in high school. And, you know, what happened when I got closer to graduation, I knew I wanted to join the Navy. And my dad, he didn't want me to. So I basically had to wait till I was 18 to sign. And my whole goal was to travel the world. And luckily, my first deployment was a world tour. And I just decided to stick around after that.
I like it. I like it. So for our younger partners in the room, Pastor Nye, how about you? What made you join?
Yeah, so it was partly family that served prior. And then ultimately, I just wanted to serve my country before my time ran out.
Mr. Kramer?
So I just came from actually an Army family, and I was the first one to do Navy.
Oh.
So, but biggest reason was just college, tuition assistance. That was like the big reason. Also, being able to explore the world, go to different places.
You definitely ended up in a different place. That's for certain.
Yeah, I did.
Is this your first tour?
No, I served at USS Constitution first, and this is my second one.
Ah, that's impressive. How long were you at the Constitution?
For 3 years.
3 years, yeah. Very good. So you know a lot of naval history.
I do. It's kind of wobbly now. It's been a few years, but I still know a good amount.
Okay. I'm just going to say if this is USS Constitution history at the end of the show, then that's cheating. So I just want to make that plain from the beginning. But with that said, I think we'll start looking here in a few minutes on what some service and traditions in just a minute, and we'll be back in just a second with some more stuff.
Maximum music.
I love it when you guys play Fuel, Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Black Eyed Peas.
Minimum repeats.
80s music. I love listening to The Cars, Modern Ingress.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
Traditions and service and celebrating years and those that have gone before us. So, Chief McKay, what motivated you to join the Navy, and really what inspires you to continue serving?
Well, what motivated me to join the Navy was most people back in the day was the Montgomery GI Bill and seeing the world. And, you know, after 20 years, I think I have 2 years worth of college and working well past that. But you know, like I say, my first deployment was a world tour. And my goal was actually to get out like quite a few people. And I went to school for fiber optics. You know, I said, let me go overseas. So I went to Rota, Spain. And my chief at the time became the lead IC detailer. And he said, hey, man, you know, you should consider going overseas. It may change your mind. And I went overseas. I enjoyed it. I get to see a different side of the Navy. And when I came back, you know, sea duty is pretty challenging. And I considered, you know, stepping away again. But it was the sailors around me that, you know, if I had stepped away, you know, I would have really been concerned about their well-being, their retention, where they're going. And so I stuck around. And so did they. So, I mean, it kind of worked out for all of us. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Speaking of, you know, sticking around and helping to guide sailors in their career path, Chief Oyogeoke, as a career counselor and helping to guide people, what are some of the most rewarding parts of your service?
I would say leadership and mentorship. Leading and mentoring others in the military has honed my ability to guide individuals toward achieving their goals, which is essential in career counseling. And also adaptability, this ability to adapt to various situations and environment in the military has prepared me to handle diverse clients' needs and, you know, speaking engagements.
Yeah, adaptability. What kind of sea stories do you have that you might be able to share about some, you know, situations that you had to adapt a little bit and kind of be ready to shift as needed?
The biggest one is for my line of work, the community itself. We constantly change instruction, policies, meal placement, you know, and so forth. So we have to make sure that we are flexible. you know, whatever that we know, we can't just shoot from the hips. So we have to make sure as soon as the new instruction is out, we educate ourselves and we start using that one in accordance with.
And no sailor situation is the same, is it? All very diverse and interesting. Is there anyone you could say that you helped that they weren't sure if they were going to stay Navy, but maybe they found the way? Maybe a neat experience that you had with a sailor helping them out?
Yes, I agree with you. So there's a particular sailor that I just saw here in Bahrain, and I'm so happy that he's still wearing the uniform. So about 5 years ago on the ship, he was a sailor that doesn't want to stay in. And after doing all the CDBs, and I told him, give me a chance, I'll send you to TAP. And when you come back from TAP, which is on transition assistant program, and we are going to talk about your experience. And the sailor went, and when he came back, he was like, thank you for sending me to TAP because I'm able to see that I'm not ready to leave the Navy. Now he's a first class, still wearing the uniform, and he looks happy.
That's a great story. I mean, that's a great turnout, too. It made a good decision, and you had a part in that. And I think the Navy had a part in that, too, right, offering the right programs and the right things to help that sailor.
That's right.
I think that's great. You know, now we kind of bring it over to our FDRMC brother, and, you know, you'd help people and parts, right? So tell us a little bit about that and what motivates you in that regard.
So from FDRMC, I chose it because I like to do my job. And some short duties, you kind of sit and, you know, it's more about your development, school, you know, going to all the ships I've been to, you know, sailors kind of, you know, beat their heads against the wall thinking the problem is far more complicated than a blown fuse or open or, you know, ground. And so, you know, helping them through that, not with giving them the answer, but asking a leading question for them to be like, oh, I never thought of that. You know, as far as a career, as especially being a chief, I think it's extremely rewarding to see those sailors that want to separate. And then you kind of figure out why their blinders are in that direction and try to open them up to why they joined the Navy in the first place and expand their horizon on what's kind of pulling them away from why they joined in the first place. I think it's very rewarding as a chief. You don't get it all the time, but you get those phone calls or those Facebook video chats where people getting mapped or advancing, and it's the person that you didn't think was going to stay in, and they're next you know they're a first class or they're a chief, or they want you to come out and pin them, and it's like, oh, well, I thought you forgot about me.
It's amazing, humbling what our service members can do. It's just phenomenal. Very good work.
AFM The Eagle. Don't like it? Try it with ketchup. Serving America's best.
So for our famous DJs that we currently have, how about you two? You got a sea story?
I'll tell you.
One short one, non-trivia related sea story.
My mind just immediately goes back to boot camp. I just remember it was one of the last nights right before graduation. And, you know, we're supposed to be in our racks. And one of the guys, he just comes and does the old slide across the floor in his socks. And it just cracked everybody up, and it's just something that stuck with me. Just kind of looking back at, you know, that we all can kind of pull together, and, you know, there's some friction sometimes, but in the end, we know that we really are on the same team, and we're working together. And then from there, everyone just kind of went off in their own directions. But the beauty of it is, you know, coming back here and then getting to see other people that have been either at A school or different commands, and you know, just getting to collaborate again.
I think a lot of my best sea stories is probably from the USS Constitution, doing all the climbing and sailing work together with some friends up on the sails, pulling it up. It's kind of unique. Being able to take pictures up there is pretty awesome as well.
I'd say not many people have gotten to get underway with the Constitution, so.
Yeah, going underway many, many times. It's pretty cool. It's once you do it many, many times, you kind of get used to it. And I think for everybody else, it's like mind-blowing, but yeah, just being able to do that, it's pretty awesome.
I think you bring up a great point. You know, when you think about all of us in the room, there's many years of experience in here, and we've all done very different things. But sometimes what other people are doing look way more fascinating than what you're getting to do. But then something reminds you of why the things that you do are so important. So I think it kind of comes full circle, and it's just good to hear about his experience this morning and what they've done and how they think about things.
Oh, I love it. It reminds me of my grandfather. Again, one of those big influences. as to why I joined the Navy was just hearing their stories and just some of the challenges that they faced in their time, and getting to learn from people that have been in longer. And again, when you start to add up the years of experience, it really, you know, is a lot. And speaking of experience, we're going to get into some more chiefly advice in just a little bit.
AFN The Eagle. Who the heck did you think you were listening to? Serving America's best.
Chief McKay, in your line of work, what is some chiefly advice you have received or given when facing challenging decision points?
I try to be extremely transparent, you know, because people look at me as a chief and think sometimes I have all the right answers. And I kind of tell them, like, hey, sometimes you have to make a decision. There's black and white that you have to be in accordance with, but sometimes you have to go with experience, right? You know, the same issues you've seen in the schoolhouse aren't going to be the same issues you see on a ship. As far as advice that I've given people, I think the best advice I've ever received is advice that I've replicated. There was a senior chief on the Sanjak with me, and he walked up on me one day and he said, hey, IC1, you know, I got a question for you, you know. Well, how do you make Master Chief? And I looked at him, I said, well, senior, I don't know how to make chief, but I would assume hard work. And he said, no. He said, you step on his toes without scuffing his boots. And it took me almost 3 years to figure out what that meant. And thankfully I did, because I became the Strike Group Sailor of the Year because I replicated what he did. And so when I talk to sailors, I give them that same advice, whether it's chief, officer, business owner, well, how do you become that? You know, you step on somebody's toes without scuffing their boots. And they figure it out, and when they do, they become immensely successful.
I'm still trying to polish my boots. I'm trying to get that down. Like, how do you get that glass shine?
Yeah, it takes time.
Trying to figure that one out. But I love it. Step on their toes without scuffing their boots. Yeah. How about you, Chief Oyegoke? Any interesting stories that you have?
So one of the biggest one is, don't let your background determine your future. Where you were born, you know, your accent, you know, everything that you know you want to improve, you can go for it and improve it. Limiting belief is not good. When I was a BM2, I tried so hard to convert to a YN because that was my goal. I retook my HAZMAT 3 times to be able to get the right amount of scores that I need. I have a mentor that told me, you know what, just give up. I'm like, no, I know this is not what I want to do, and I know I can do what I want to do if I put effort. So I started putting effort to make sure that I can become a YN. It got to a point that another sailor, which was NC, told me, hey, have you tried to learn what NC does? I'm like, no. Can I shadow you? I started shadowing that person. I finally love it. I went back to my mentor, and my mentor was like, you cannot be an NC because you have an accent. I'm like, why not? Because people will not understand you. And this is another fellow African telling me that, and he's a leader. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be the first African that can be an NC, because we cannot limit ourselves because of our accent. It's not going to help people coming behind us. So today, I thank God that I'm still an NC and I'm loving it with an accent. And my sailor does not complain because they can understand me.
That's a phenomenal story, and not being limited. And that's why you have more than one mentor. Sometimes our mentors want us to do the things they want us to do, but you got to advocate for yourself a little bit too and do some things. So I think that's phenomenal. And it would have been not good. How many sailors would not have been helped had you not have went the path you did? Or how many ships might not be fixed if we didn't have folks pushing that side? So I think some advice that was given to me once upon a time, I had a master chief tell me to do my homework. I went walking around all the time, and I understood the phrase, but not what he was trying to get me to do. And so finally one day I asked him, and he starts laughing because he's like, you should have asked me like a month ago why I was telling you to do your homework. And I realized I was able to fix airplanes and helicopters, but when it came to sailor programs or understanding the different instructions or stuff like that, I had a surface knowledge, not a deep knowledge. When I finally started listening, I realized there was a whole bunch of things I'd not been doing. And I went and told him that, and he just kind of laughed. He said, I've been trying to tell you for 3 months to get your life right. But it's funny how those folks can kind of guide you, and just simple things of just doing your homework daily and making sure that you're engaged in your job and just caring about what you're trying to accomplish is pretty phenomenal. How about you, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'm still struggling with the homework, you know, and not being assigned homework, having to go out and take that initiative of, hey, what do I need to brush up on? What do I need to study? What am I needing to read? And then obviously you still got to hone that skill set, you know, so we still got to be working with the camera and the digital and all of that. So probably still struggling with, hey, what is it that I need to be honing in on for myself in the career path?
I think some like chiefly advice that I've gotten was a lot of really good stuff from Chief Stumberg, who was here a few months ago. He was probably the best chief that I've had in the Navy so far. He led from the front. He helped me with a lot of things. And I just want to replicate that whenever I get to the point where I'm a chief.
Gotcha. Appreciate you sharing that. I think it's always good. I think to understand that advice doesn't necessarily have a pay grade on it. We both receive it and we give it. And so knowing when you're supposed to be giving and when you're supposed to be receiving, I think, is just as important.
AFM The Eagle. We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. Serving America's best.
Warfighters and leadership, this year, the birthday theme was all about strength and readiness. So, Chief McKay, what are some of those activities and things that service members can do to kind of stand out in their career field or in their pathway that they're going?
I think a lot of people overthink this question. As you know, as chief, you know, trying to get people on the right bearing. Sailor 360 is huge. Some commands have CSAT or junior enlisted associations, but it's also, you have DECA, you have CSTT, Combat Systems Training Team. There's a multitude of in-rate things that we only look at for getting the institutional side of it that strengthens or force multiplies. And, you know, usually you'll see it as a chief around when people get the first class and they've really worked at in-rate stuff. And you're like, hey man, you gotta get to the institutional stuff. You have to be able to expand your horizon because your sailors need to move forward as you do. And once you can get people to play ball, you know, to do their PPMEs, their JPMEs, you know, some in-rate, some college, things like that, you complete that pie and it creates success. And then all they do, because now they have a fundamental understanding and that pass that along. So, you know, I think there's a multitude of programs you can choose, but command impact and command involvement is something I think that isn't brought up enough. And you don't have to just do your job to do that.
Excellent. Chief Oyegoke, how about goals, SMART goals? You know, when you've got a sailor coming in, how do you get them to kind of think forward and look at those goals and prioritize them and structure them?
The biggest thing is I like to provoke their thoughts. I like to understand what is there with them, which is what is in there for me. So if you know what is in there for you, you can also know how to ask for help to get it or continue to work towards that goal. So the biggest thing is I will encourage all sailors to make sure they attend the ELDC class. Mm-hmm. And this is a leadership development course is going to be one of those topics that they will teach in there, which is going to be about SMART acronym and the JOIN as well. So a lot of people don't understand that if you don't have goals that is for your professional or personal, you just leave it. You need to have something to work towards. It can be advancement. It can be as simple as I want to have $1,000 by the end of the year. You know, it can be I want to lose weight. Just have a goal and seek counseling. You know, you can come to your career counselor. You know, you can have mentor, you can have a coach. Everybody needs somebody as a that can help them to give them more guidance.
And guidance is key. So as we continue to look at chiefly advice and how we can seek help from mentors and coaches and, of course, the chiefs, we're going to have some trivia to see how much homework you've all been doing over the past few years here.
It's not fair if you use my words against me.
Here we go. We're going to kick off some trivia. We're going to fly through this. Now, hey, this isn't cheating, but
he cheats.
The USS Constitution will be in this. So here's the first question. We're going to start with you, Fleet. Okay. So what year was the USS Constitution launched from Boston, Massachusetts? Was it A, 1777, B, 1787, C, 1797, or D, it's a trick question.
I'll go with D. Let's try D, just to be different.
It is C-1797, and it was actually launched at what's now Boston's U.S. Coast Guard base.
The buildings. I was trying to get you to give me the answer. You weren't helping.
All right. Here we go for our second trivia question. This one goes to you, Chief McKay. So what year was the Continental Navy disbanded? Was it 1779, 1781, 1783, or 1785?
I thought the U.S. Navy became about itself in 1793, so I don't know the answer to that if it's not there.
All right, Chief Oyegoke. So the question again is, what year was the Continental Navy disbanded? 1779, 1781, 1783, or 1785?
1789.
That would be incorrect. It was D, 1785. All right. We're gonna pick it up here. We're gonna go back around to you, Fleet. This one. Hopefully, we got this one.
Our third trivia question. We have homework to do.
Yeah, there's always homework to do in the Navy, right? So, who was the chief of naval operations that authorized official recognition of the October 13th as the official U.S. Navy birthday? Was it A, Admiral David L. McDonald? B, Admiral Thomas H. Moore, C, Admiral Elmo R. Zumwalt, or D, Admiral James L. Holloway?
I'll try Zumwalt.
That's absolutely correct. It was Admiral Zumwalt. That's right. Last trivia question. This is going to go to you, Chief McKay. What was the first ship of the line built in America? The USS United States, the USS America, the USS United States, or the USS President?
I'm going to say the USS America.
And that's correct. Now, the interesting thing about this ship is we never used it. We gave it to France. It was a gift, but it was the very first ship of the line that was built in America. All right, so it looks like we've got a tie between Fleet King and Chief McKay. How are we breaking this tie here? Want another question?
One more.
All right, one more. Here we go.
Last question.
What year was the Battle of White Plains?
Where's the choices?
1774, 1775, 1776, or 1777?
I'll say 75.
That would be incorrect.
You got a chance.
Chief McKay, you got your chance here.
Don't guess B. Don't guess B.
We go with 1774.
That would also be incorrect. We're down to two last numbers here. Fleet, was it 76 or 77?
76.
That's correct. All right, 76 is it.
You got me.
All right. Congratulations.
Was that C, by the way, originally?
That was C.
We should have C'd our way out from the beginning. That's what
I wanted to say C, but I don't want to go there.
All right. Man. Well, hey, we've also got our question of the day. We'll go around, and if you've got some final thoughts, and if you have a thought about first responders, it's First Responders Day. If a first responder, if they had a theme song, what would it be?
I would say Danger Zone. I think that's a good one.
Danger Zone?
The Danger Zone.
I think the Rocky theme song.
The Rocky theme song?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've got Danger Zone, Rocky theme song. Chief McKay, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think everything was touched on here. I mean, she really hit on the EOD course. I kind of promote that tremendously. I'm the coordinator everywhere I go, so I would definitely encourage everyone to go to it, not just because it's a requirement now, but more so the Johari window and the DIS survey will give you tools to understand people to more effectively lead them. As far as that, you know, the Navy is a great career, and you have to utilize every inch of it to understand what's available to you and not close your mind to the opinions that you hear around you. And if you do that, you might miss the purpose of why you joined in the first place.
For me, I would say it is okay to ask your chain of command for career development board. Don't be shy. Ask them. They will create time to sit down with you and guide you.
And I just want to, as we wrap up, I just want to say thank you to our guests for taking the time out of your day to come be part of this. We appreciate all the wisdom you've shared over the radio this morning, and also to our new DJ and our outgoing DJ. Always good to have a team here that gets the word out to our teams, but to all the service members that we have, both in Bahrain, whether it's Working here at TED here, you're deployed to our civilian workers that are here as well that are back us up at all times, and just the entire team that's out here helping us to do our jobs. Just thank you to you, and have a great day out there, and we'll see you in the fleet.